Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning and welcome to your voice for wellness in the community. Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral I tried to be Maria and it so didn't happen. And of course your folks here at KUBO, the kind and gentle people at KUBO Radio. Bringing you this morning's show. Welcome. Hang on. The band is filing out of the booth here, and as soon as we get them situated, we'll jump right in. Of course, you can join us if you wish. 337-8874 is the phone number. And it's been a while since somebody, the last person that called, wanted extra pepperoni. And I think we made them mad. So no one's called for a while. So 337-8874. You can call. You can talk to us. It's not that scary. And of course, you can catch the show on KXO.com and click on podcast, and all of this will be gone, and we'll just have a really good show. Okay, so welcome aboard. Drive carefully. Keep your hands off your personal electronic devices, which is like the new code word now for phones, because they're not phones, right? They're like computers and cameras and movie cameras, and you know, they do everything, so they're no longer phones, so they're now personal electronic devices, which of course will be PEDs within like 12 minutes. Well, yeah, it has to go that way, right? So, hey, where's your PED? Dude, I got the newest PED. What do you got? You know, and so, welcome to my world. All right, we do have a guest. Her name is Selena Gonzalez, and I've known her for 20 years, honestly.
About that.
She's here today from the El Centro Elementary School. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning.
You're still at El Centro Elementary, correct?
El Centro Elementary School District, Pupil Services and Attendance.
Pupil Services and Attendance. Well, Pupil Services and Attendance. That's not a big deal, is it? I mean, attendance, who cares, right?
Well, it depends on how you look at attendance, you know, because it's been proven by research, many, many sources of research, that attendance does affect life of a person, starting from there. You know, you have a person who is not coming to school on a regular basis, then you have a person who is not coming to work on a regular basis, you have a person who is not committing to any responsibilities in life on a regular basis.
Where's Maria today, anyway? Oh, sorry.
Well, Maria.
No, she's actually on a train. She actually is at work today, so she's not one of these people. As a matter of fact, Maria never takes a sick day. So if people don't attend school regularly... Yeah, there you go. If people don't attend school regularly, then bad things, consequences begin to pile up, even if nothing else bad is going on.
That's right. Because, again, you know, it affects an overall life when kids come to school. And let me just go, I was looking last night over...
So when the schools tell me to make sure my kid's in school, and they really put a lot of, like total adult guilt peer pressure on me... To make
not
my kids go to school.
No.
Well, but they're pretty clear in their message. Your kid needs to be, you know, they push it. It's not just because they want the money.
No. And let me tell you, me personally, that's something that I like to clarify for parents, especially
yes.
And the community overall, because they said, well, you want the kids in school because of the money, because without the money, you won't get money to pay for the schools. And, you know, part of that is true. We do need the money that is allocated for student attendance to pay salaries, to be able to provide with services for students so that they can become responsible adults and productive citizens, and that comes through education. However, when it comes to me personally as a counselor, and I know as an educator for many other people, our goal is to be able to be a partner with parents, to be able to have a relevant role as a society member, to be able to help a child succeed in life. Because if we help a child succeed in life, we won't have to rehabilitate adults. I don't remember where I read that. I think it was one of those Greek guys from long, long time ago. And I know it wasn't my husband. His name is Socrates. But I read it. I think it was Aristotle's or one of those. And it says, if we educate the children today, we will not need to rehabilitate the adults.
And wow. Simple enough, huh?
Simple enough. If we are able to help parents provide these kids with the abilities, the skills they need to be able to take care of themselves, to be able to be responsible providers for their families, to be able to be a person who likes their job, who likes coming to work. You know, there are times when we wake up and we say,
I met one of those people once. Now that you mention it. I think his name is Mario, but I'm not sure. Oh, I guess not.
You know, you get up and sometimes and you say, I don't want to go to work. But then once you get to work and you start seeing everything that is happening, and in my case, you know, there's this coming, this, that coming, and then I have a student that walks into my office who says, you know, I call them because they haven't been coming to school, and then I say, what is going on? You know, what is the reason you're not coming? And then, of course, you know, with adolescents, you go, I don't know. You know, typical. And then we go, well, I think you do know. We just need to perhaps identify the specifics, and you don't know overall, but let's talk about it. You know, like
you don't
today.
Just say, well, get out of here and don't come back until you do know?
No, not really. Oh. We start to talk about, you know, what is going on? How is your family? How are things? How is the baby? Do you have a new sister? You have a new brother? Hey, I bet that's difficult at night. You know, they are crying at night. And has your mom been okay with her health? And then, boom, all of a sudden you find out this child is taking care of the babies at home. Because mom is not feeling well, because mom is looking for a job, because the family doesn't have a place, a stable place where to sleep. Just yesterday, have a little commercial here. AmeriCorps is going to have their blanket and their coat drive next week. And just yesterday, I was doing a little search.
Where are we going to leave our blankets and coats, by the way?
County Office of Education through the AmeriCorps. Actually, AmeriCorps, I understand the volunteers are going to be going out and identifying or giving out flyers. But anybody can bring them to County Office of Education Student Wellbeing Office at the AmeriCorps.
And if they say that Selena sent them, they'll get lots of gratitude. For free. Free gratitude.
Well, you know, just yesterday I found out on a family that I actually have been chasing a kindergarten because he has not been coming to school on time. Mm-hmm. And when you search and dig, you find out, well, because my mom didn't get up or my mom wouldn't wake up. And then we went for a home visit, and guess what? We found out that this family is living with some relatives, and they are sleeping in the living room on the floor. So do we need coats and blankets for that family? Definitely. Do we need other things, many other things for that family? Yes, definitely. And those are elements that affect attendance, definitely.
Okay, so let's do a real quick recap. Basically, attendance isn't just for schools. It's not just for the school's financial. It's critical to your child's success in school. It's an important first step in trying to make sure that children have the best possible chance to be successful adults.
Yes.
Which means they don't need extra help and stuff. And as what you're saying, what I've heard twice now, is that behind every pattern of absences that comes to the school's attention is a story,
definitely,
is a reason. How big a footprint is poverty on us, do you think?
Oh, a big, big percentage of our families, of course. You know, we have the highest, if not one of the highest levels of percentages of poverty in the state of California, unfortunately. We have a very high, and I know we have been the highest in rates of unemployment. And that affects our families. Those are the kids that are coming to school. We have kids that are coming to school without breakfast. We have kids that are coming to school and their families don't have enough to provide for them for the minimum daily life needs they have. And they come to the school, and of course, as teachers, we say, okay, how come you didn't do your homework? How come you're here late? And then we have other kids that are were happy one day or for a period of time, and all of a sudden you see changes in their behavior, and they start to call your attention, and you find out that these kids are not coming to school, and that is actually one of the big reasons why students are not coming to school, and that is because they have been harassed or they are afraid of bullies. that have been intimidating them at school, and they are just afraid to report it, or they don't know how, or they think that if I talk, it's going to get worse.
So kids who are fearful, they tell their mom, I have a stomach ache, a headache, I don't feel good today. How does that happen? I mean, do they come home and tell their mom and dad, you know, I feel really pressured or fearful at school and I don't want to go to school, and they say, okay, stay home? Or typically, how does that happen?
Usually, you're right. The child starts to complain, to give physical complaints. I have stomach pain. I feel like throwing up. My head hurts. I didn't do my homework. And sometimes parents always do call my throat. I'm starting to feel good. And then
it rained yesterday. I'm coming down with something.
Yeah. They are worried about a test in the junior high or sixth, seventh grade. Girls especially, they worry a lot, and boys do very well in math, and they didn't prepare right. But then, because they are good in math, good in English,
right,
sometimes they are target of bully behavior, and they start to identify the excuses that sound reasonable to parents. And parents,
those
will,
are the best ones, actually.
Yeah, of course. And then parents will say, okay, stay. And then parents call, you know, my child is not feeling well. However, we need to remember that we have the compulsory education law in the state of California, and not only in the state of California.
Which means that even if it's boring, you got
to
go.
Even if it's boring, we just need to find one good reason.
It is compulsory.
It is compulsory. Any student between the ages of 6 and 18 must go to school on a regular basis. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, this school or that school, but they have to have an educational program that is able to evaluate their progress and be able to prepare them well to be able to get a high school diploma and pass the exit exam, and then be prepared if their choice is any kind of secondary education.
So before you can even begin to consider whether or not the education does an adequate job of preparing a wide range of children with a wide range of abilities for this kind of successful adult life, you first have to start with, you know what, without trying, without engaging in the process, without following the law, as it turns out, because it's compulsory, that's the whole thing about laws, is that we don't know, so you have to at least try. Once you try, we can begin to sort out all the details, which is exactly what we're going to do after we take this short break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by KUBO and Empiricon Behavioral Health Services. It is the top of the hour. If you got to be there, clock in, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. Or welcome. As the case, you know, when Maria always says, you're still listening to it, I'm like, no, they just turned in. So, this is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Behavioral Health and KUBO Radio. Our phone number is 337-8874, and our guest today is Selena Gonzalez. She is the student, pupil personnel and student attendance, blew the title. Sorry. Selena, welcome back.
It is a very long title. My title is Pupil Services and Attendance Counselor.
What's the acronym? Is there one?
PSA.
Ah, there you go. A public service announcement.
Yes, it's a PSA. PSA counselor. And, you know, going back to the reasons why students miss the school, and, you know, we have 160,000 students that miss the school every day in the United States, according to statistics. That adds up to 28 million days a year. And the reason for them missing is because they are afraid of bullies or gangs at their school.
Not all of them, but a significant portion of children miss school related to anxiety, related to the threat of something nasty happening at school.
Definitely.
Now,
they are worried. They are worried. They are afraid.
Lots of different possibilities for threat, as you mentioned earlier. You know, academic work can be bullying because it can beat you up. It can, and if you're not getting it and you don't understand it and now you're failing and now you're on the, like, wall at recess because you don't get it, you know.
Well, it's fear.
That
of,
can feel bad pretty soon.
Well, you have a child who has, who, let's say there is an underlying, possible problem of, not identified, educational problem. You know, a student that may need special education services and has not been identified. And you have a child who has been able to make it through the routes, through a grade.
The easy
and
stuff.
Then, yeah, and then you start to see things that are more difficult, and then this child starts to get sick and not coming to school. Why? Because he is embarrassed to ask the teacher, because he is embarrassed or afraid that they are going to make fun of him.
So chronic absences, a pattern of absences that comes out of nowhere or starts pretty high and stays pretty high, those are the cases where you really have to take a look and see what's going on, huh?
Definitely. Our first red flag comes after the third unexcused absence or tardiness of 30 minutes or more. There is a generic letter that goes home just to inform the parent. Your child has been identified as a student who has at least 3 unexcused
absences. At least call us.
yeah, and that's what we say. You know, there is a meeting if you'd like to come. If you have any questions, please give us a call. Remember to call if your child is ill. You have up to 5 days in the year that you can just call and say, my child is not feeling well. If you have any other problems and we can be of any help, please give us a call. And there is a phone number there. And that's all for the first level. As the student continues to miss school, then it gets a little harder in terms of us wanting to identify the reasons of those unexcused absences.
Right. Why is this child missing school?
Exactly. And when those absences are combined with excused absences, then our red flags go up higher.
So you've got the parent calling in, and sometimes you get the parent not calling in.
That's right.
And that combination of stuff begins to add up more and more and more. And every day the child misses is a day of learning, is a day of a concept that they needed to apply next week to the new concept.
Yes. For every day that a student misses, it takes 2 days for them to catch up. And there are kids that never catch up, unfortunately.
Well, you've got a big classroom full of children. And so an absence pattern, if properly done, I mean, if you're absent on the wrong days, you could miss big chunks of stuff. And it may be impossible for a classroom teacher to go back and teach you, because they've got a lot of kids to move through a very complicated system.
That's right. And then one of the dangers that we try to avoid is that, you know, we have a child who misses school and is a chronic absence problem. Then you have lower achievement test scores. You have a very high likelihood of dropping out of a school and not finishing at least elementary, secondary education. You have a person who will probably be unemployed because they don't have basic skills to get an entry-level job. You have an increased risk of substance abuse, poor empathy, poor problem-solving.
They don't feel good about
anger
themselves.
Management. Yeah. They don't feel good about themselves. Of course, they are going to look for things that will mask those feelings, and then we have our social problems that can become real serious problems.
And we talk about self-esteem, but if the world is telling you over and over and over again that you're not good enough, whether it's bad grades or bullies at school or whatever, that begins to weigh on everyone over time.
Everyone. And then there is a dream. You know, every parent, and I talk as a parent, not only as a counselor, every parent has a dream. We hope that our kids will be in life somebody that will have at least the same life we have or better. We hope that our kids will be able to make a difference.
You know, we had a show on, like, about a month ago, where we had a doctor of sociology and leading researcher come on and explain to us that is a dream. It's a complete fallacy. That the research indicates that your kids aren't going to do as well as you are, or they're going to stay at the same level almost 95% of the time. So the whole American dream of somehow us having this upward trajectory of economic achievement, of wellness, of happiness, of all that stuff, bigger cars, no, That's a lie.
It is.
Not true.
It is. It's a delusion. It's a delusion many times. And then parents many times in
well, and then when it's not happening, you begin to attribute the failure to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you start to, not only to yourself, but people around you, and start blaming the system, and start blaming the teacher, bad system, bad society, bad place where I'm living. And then it goes on and on and on.
Bad disc jockey playing funky music on the radio.
Yes. And then, you know, in looking at kindergarten and how important, you know, kindergarten, when I went to school, you know, I don't think I went to kindergarten. I went straight to first grade. But if a student misses one day every 2 weeks in kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
by the time they go to first grade, they are already lower when compared in terms of achievement.
Right.
They are lower in reading, math, and general knowledge. They are a percentage, 10% lower in terms of achievement in those three areas. Our kids are limping already if they have a pattern of absences in kindergarten. And kindergarten, just to clarify for some parents, kindergarten is no longer learning the ABCs.
It's not kinder and it's
colors.
Not garden. It's pre-first grade.
It is pre-first grade. There are kids in kindergarten that are coming out reading by December. They are coming out reading already. And they are so sharp. It's amazing. I love kindergarten kids. They are so sharp. They have so many questions, and they are very good questions. And they are so honest, so honest. Because
so
when I say,
getting people to school and keeping people to school, what can we do?
What can we do? Number one, keep an open communication with your child's teacher, the principal, the adults are involved in the life of
your
kids.
You know, is that easy for people who didn't have a good experience at school as students?
Of course not. And we are trying our best at the elementary school district in inviting parents to come over.
You know, it's funny. I was the school's dream child, because it didn't require any maintenance, and I scored really high, which makes schools look good, and so I have no reason to, you know, have any kind of fear of schools. I still get weirded out walking into the principal's office.
Yes.
I still feel a little defensive. I still feel a little like I must have done something wrong, and I just imagine for people who were less the favorite children of school.
Mm-hmm.
How intensely sickening in your stomach, like angst, you know, like, ooh,
yeah.
That must feel to walk into the school and need to talk to the school about something.
Yeah. One of the things we are doing is we're trying to get parents to come for fun things. For example, the migrant program had a wonderful activity. We brought families to build together a gingerbread house, and we called it the gingerbread house family activity. We had about 75 parents that came with their families, and they together put together this little house, and they had food and a good time. We have days when, you know, breakfast with the principal, so the parents start to become familiar.
So the schools go out of their way to set a pattern of when we interact positively.
Exactly.
We're not blaming. We're not judging you or your family. So that parents begin to feel more comfortable coming in.
Yeah.
But wouldn't those events attract people who are already kind of comfortable, and less so people who have that kind of, you know, built-in fear, I suppose, of schools?
Yes, yes, of course. And then, you know, another level of intervention is that we go to the homes. You know, in many, many cases.
You know, just if the school called me and said, you know, come on in and talk to us, or we'll come visit you.
I don't let them know. We just go. You know, we're working with the teachers. We are providing workshops about helping teachers become more aware of the working with the poverty.
Right.
Kids that come from very low income
tremendous
families
stressor.
And affected by all the social elements that we have, or families affected in the Imperial Valley.
Poor housing, not enough food.
Exactly.
Lack of resources.
Exactly. If you go to many of our schools, you know, Washington to say one, I give a presentation to teachers, and one of the main questions was, Are you the teacher you would like to have for your own kids? Are you the teacher that you wanted to have, that favorite teacher that you have in your life that made a difference, that impacted your life in a positive way and motivated you to continue in life, educating yourself and going and doing things? And just ask yourself that question. And, you know, that day I saw light in many eyes of those teachers. You go to Washington School, and it's not the only school. That's the one that just came to mind because it's close to where we are. And you see Mr. Hernandez there saying, good morning, Mrs. Hernandez. Good morning, Mr. Smith. Good morning, blah, blah, blah. And then the teachers are greeting the students at the door every day. The teachers are making that positive connection. When a child has missed school, the teachers are sending little notes home and calling home to say, I hope Juanito is doing okay today, and I have noticed that he has missed school. I hope he can come back soon. When a student is walking in, teachers are no longer, in our district at least, most of them that I know of, they are no longer saying, you missed school, here's your work, now you're going to have to stay to catch up.
Yeah.
What teachers are trying to do is identify, well, I'm glad to see you here today. Are you feeling better? Remember, we can work on the things that
so
you are behind
together. Schools are already
together.
Leading in this kind of outreach to build relationships, to build
yes.
connections between not only with the child, but with the parents.
Yes, so positive that we, connections. Positive
so that we
connections.
All see that we're in this all together, and the school has an not only has a social purpose. I
yes.
mean, the whole reason we're pouring our tax money into the education system is so that children come out of that system prepared to be successful, tax-paying, happy, safe adults.
I'm prepared to replace us. You know, we
well,
have
yeah,
teachers,
oh, that would be
you
cool
know,
too.
Prepare to,
but not
to,
before,
to take over.
But not before we reach our retirement age, right?
Not
I mean,
before,
okay.
not before. You know, students who are able to come and say, you know, I was a student at Lincoln Elementary. I was a student at Central Union High School, and I'm coming back.
So we want to make our schools so good that when the child gets their first tattoo, they want a tattoo of that school.
Well, you don't really want a child to have a tattoo, but if you
well, when they're,
were
when
to
they're
have
18
a
and
sticker,
they're old enough to
a
make their
sticker
old
that proudly, proudly shows their school band mascot to say
I'm gonna run
yes,
out I'm gonna
yes,
run out
yes,
and
yes.
get a Harding Eagle right now because
yes.
I'm fired up
yes
so what about fear, what about anxiety, what about bullying? How big a role does that play in absences, and what do districts and what do you and what do we as community members have to do about that?
Well, one of the things we are trying very hard is to again raise awareness among staff and awareness among kids. We are training the student body kids to be able to be a little more assertive, to be able to identify when other students are being bullied, to be able to say, hey, you know, stop bullying. Stop bullying in our schools. Get peace. We have Peace Builders program at McKinley School and at Deansa School. We have the peace at the Safe School Ambassadors at Kennedy School. We are trying to help kids to identify the three R's, which is, you know, R for identifying that this is bullying, and then R for refusing the bullying. And then the third R is reporting it.
I said so. I was guessing.
Yeah. And then, you know, training the kids little by little and you know, everybody, the stand is, we don't tolerate bullying in our school. Stop bullying in our schools.
Now, I just stepping back from schools and looking at society in general. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And America has, the greatness of America has been built on a competitive process. A democracy is a competitive process. Capitalism is a competitive process. And competitive processes have a little bit of, you know, to be the best at something, you have to climb over the backs and shoulders of those people below you. There's an inherent bullying, and I think they have a nicer word for it, you know, doing your best or something. But you have to achieve above the level of others. How easy is it to separate a school and say, we live in a world of bullying, whether it's economic bullying or political bullying or nationalistic bullying or global bullying or corporate bullying or whatever the bullying is. But this school is going to not have any. How easy is it to have kids who aren't as aware of some of the geopolitical stuff that's just ubiquitous?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watch MMA fighting or WWA wrestling. I mean, it's all bullying.
Yes, it is all bullying. And what we're trying is trying to build a culture of respect. Because once we're able to help kids develop that self-respect, then they can respect the person
next to them. Can we do that without having to call out the stuff that's just ubiquitous in our society? I mean, that would be my question. I mean, you know, can you say, okay, we need to really think about it here, but when you go home and confront your parents' economic marginalization, don't really apply it there. I mean, how do you do that? I think for elementary schools who really have to toe the line on, you know, societal integrity or whatever, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's a difficult place for them to be.
It is. It is very difficult. And then one of the things is to identify the positives on a crisis, because conflict is could be positive as it could be negative. And when a conflict comes in terms of, you know, dealing with those elements that are affecting our homes so badly, and you have a student who is able to build that self-esteem and that motivation to say, you know, I'm going to be a person who is going to be able to provide for my family and not like my parents that are struggling so much, and I'm going to do my best to do it. And that's a conflict.
So using it as a motivator.
As a motivator, to use it as a positive conflict that will generate those little changes that are quantity changes that will hopefully bring a quality change in the person. Because, you know, you're talking about bullying and about the system, and yes, I do agree with you on that. But I also believe that when you're able to grow with respect,
mm-hmm.
you're able to have a better society. And we can only bring a better society one person at a time.
So the school site then says, you know, respect starts here, and we take responsibility and ownership for creating a respectful environment.
Yes, and we try to bring parents. We have been providing presentations for parents to bring up that awareness, to tell them these are the resources at the school, these are the resources, even though they are very limited, at the community. And we are here to help you raise this kid and educate this kid. You are not alone. You are not alone. And it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to come and if you don't feel comfortable because, you know, you could be intimidated talking to a person, and perhaps the language is a barrier many times as well. We make sure that the parents know there are people there. And your child, we are starting to have even little boxes where kids can write things without giving names, just to say, I have a concern about this. And parents can do the same. Parents can come, and we are trying to have an open door policy. We are trying to say, you know, your child is missing a school, but we are not here necessarily to take you all the way to court. We will, if that is the case, and if we need to, because we have to follow the law. And if those elements are affecting the life of a parent who is using drugs, who is being irresponsible, who is having their kids taking care of older kids, which is not appropriate, it may be a need, but it's not necessarily appropriate, we have to call attention to that parent. We have to call attention to say, you know, we understand your life. We understand the things that are affecting your life, and let us work with you, because there are responsibilities that you have. And, you know, those responsibilities that perhaps these parents didn't learn to assume as they were growing up in their own school life, we need to be able to be that element to advocate for that child. Because, unfortunately, we do have many parents that are neglecting our kids. And they are not sending them to school. They are enabling adolescents who are using drugs, who are experimenting with drugs, alcohol, and gang involvement. And parents are kind of like the same. And it's difficult when you have to deal with a parent who is in gangs themselves. You know, I have gone to homes where I have found people that are withdrawing from drugs. And I have to do what I have to do for the safety of that child. Our job is to be able to try to provide a safe environment with where this child can be educated and grow up safe. And that's our job. That's our job. And that's our vocation, really. That is our vocation, to be able to help these kids and these parents to make it in life.
So we've got these chains. We've got these intergenerational cycles of failed academic performance, not feeling good, being bullied either by the system or by your peers, not getting jobs, not having economic security, coping with things that don't really help you cope, like drug use, and even just withdrawing from, you know, engagement, and, you know, either sitting around and watching TV or sitting around and just avoiding all of the stuff that seems too painful, I guess, at some levels to engage with. And this whole process, if it's not broken, if it's not dealt with at some level, results in children ending up with the same pain, the same suffering, the same marginalization,
perpetrating the circle
as their parents. And so when we see this as community members, as agency people, as citizens, as teachers, wherever, we all have to, and as parents, and even as children, we all have to do what we can to break the cycle.
That's right.
Because without all of us working together, and for parents, that may mean confronting some very, very difficult truths and committing to a better path, because you dream of better things for your children. And if you don't do those things for yourself, you cannot have them happen in your children. Your children will follow your path if you don't change your path.
That's right. The interventions, we had to have some interventions in which, you know, we have to confront parents' use of alcohol or drugs, domestic violence,
which commonly they're using as a coping response to living in a marginalized place that has been filled with abuse, whether it was system abuse or interpersonal abuse or community abuse, whatever that stuff was, it hurt.
That's right.
And the hurt led to substance use, which worked for the hurt, so they kept doing it, and
that's
it became
right.
a pattern.
That's right. But that's their coping system that is inappropriate.
Well, it's not very helpful, is it? Because it begots a circle of poor performance, pain, suffering, and a huge footprint on the community in terms of costs.
That's right. But then you touch a very good element there, coping. And then I will then take it into resiliency. What are those elements that help our kids shield themselves from getting into that circle?
SpongeBob?
I don't particularly like SpongeBob.
I knew that would get you.
But then you have that. There is no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Yeah.
You know, the ups and downs and.
Well, Patrick never seems too worried by life's misery.
Yeah. And there is a hero. I do believe there is a hero inside every person. And it's hidden. It's hidden.
Well, and it seems like with the various weights on our community, with the various weights on our families and individuals, that it requires heroic effort to break free of these cycles, to break free of the patterns that lead to, in your instance, the place that you measure it, student attendance and school performance. You know,
mm-hmm.
we measure it in mental health, mm-hmm. in terms of symptoms, in terms of mental health
yes.
disorders. The law enforcement people measure it in terms of whether you're following the laws or breaking the laws or complying with your probation or et cetera, et cetera. But it's all the same thing, isn't it?
It is all. And then it comes back to identifying that power within. And helping kids identify that treasure.
Tapping into that heroic energy.
Exactly. That we have the power kind of like He-Man, those that grew up in the 70s, 80s, I would say, He-Man and Sheena, and those shields, you know, Thor, that is gonna, it's gonna come, and even though identify that, yes, I'm strong
and
I'm here.
You just said Thor because you're talking to a tall, blonde guy with really rippled muscles, huh?
That's right.
That's pretty much it.
But then, you know, out of him, the heart that he developed, you know, in terms of that comic
as you point out, there are heroic ideals in our society and in our media and everywhere that we can tap into and bring those forward. Listen, we've come to the end of another exciting show. If people want to get in touch with you about school related student performance stuff, where do they call? What do they do?
Oh, they can call actually any school and ask for this the person that works with the attendance, but they can also just call 760-352-5712, extension 531, and it's Pupil Services and Attendance, and we are right at the district's office in office number 7. Anybody can come and stop by, and I'll be glad to go over any questions, actually, and then you can approach any person. You know, the angels at many, many schools, the clerks, those clerks are the ones that open the doors, the ones that says good morning, and then, you know, they are there to help you. We are there at the schools as partners. Please look at us as partners in getting your kids through the path leading to success. And we are there. We are there to help you find the power within, and you're not alone. You're not alone. We are there to help you.
Thank you so much for coming aboard today, Selena.
Thank you.
To all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening. Thank Mario on the board. And Maria, hey, have a great, happy holiday season from all of us at Let's Talk About It. And we'll catch you live again after January. If you start to miss us, KXLRadio.com, click on Let's Talk About It, listen to the podcast. It's just like we're actually in your living room. All right, take care, be safe, and we'll see you soon.
You're listening to KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingüe, Calexico, Mexicali.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingüe, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.